welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, the Prevention and Youth Services Coordinator at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us. And a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. This month, to raise awareness during Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, Jazz and I are doing things a bit differently. In honor of the month's theme of real love respects, we are sharing examples of behaviors in the media that everyone deserves to experience, those based in love, respect, and communication. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official. For more information on Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, visit loveisrespect.org. I am glad that we're switching gears this month, though, because I know we always talk about the things that we don't want to have happening that we see in the media. So I'm really excited to talk about the things that we've seen that we do want to focus on and have happening in our relationships, especially with it being Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. I feel like it is happening more than people understand. And so having a conversation that focuses around that is really important. One out of three teens is going to be impacted by some form of abuse before they become adults. And so bringing awareness to that is incredibly important. And I think that talking about respectful love in the media is a great way to do that this month. I have actually been really waiting to talk about this show because it's my favorite show and there's not a lot in it, unfortunately, or fortunately, where bad or toxic behaviors are being glamorized or normalized. I feel like this show does an amazing job of doing the opposite of that, actually. The fact that I get to talk about Schitt's Creek is super exciting. It's so wholesome. And as I was watching scenes back to kind of prepare for our discussion today, I was literally crying watching some of the scenes because they're so powerful and the characters in the show are so vulnerable with each other, and especially the men in the show. They are always like sharing their feelings in a way that is not like they're not ashamed to do that. And I feel like we do not see that happening enough. And I think that boys and young men are very impacted by that because those things are being reinforced by generations of men before them who were raised and taught to shove feelings down and not be emotional and not be vulnerable. It's always been like seen as a sign of weakness when in fact, I honestly feel like the opposite is true. So I think that Schitt's Creek does a really good job of highlighting how important being able to be vulnerable is. And they do that in a way that's not shameful. Like there are no instances in this show where anybody is like made fun of or given kind of a side eye for being emotional or sharing their feelings. Like they make it a point to have several instances where two male characters are sitting together having a very deep conversation about things they're going through. And also, Ted and Alexis in the show are kind of on again, off again throughout. And there is a lot going on where like Alexis actually like starts seeing somebody else before she breaks up with Ted at one point. And they kind of go their separate ways, and then they end up coming back together towards the end of the series. And then Ted has to leave to go to the Galapagos Islands because he's like saving sea turtles and doing all these really wonderful things for animals. And Alexis has at this point started her own, I think it's a PR firm, and it's become really successful very quickly, and she's worked very hard at it. And they are wanting to be together so badly, and they have so much love for each other, and they've worked through a lot of their issues and past behaviors. But they both kind of realize that this isn't what's best for them being together, because they both have their own lives and their own dreams and things that they want to do. And a lot of times when we see that happening in real life, but especially in the media, it's somebody has to give up their dream so that the other person can have theirs and they can stay together, and the relationship is the focus. And in this show, what happens instead is they both sit down and have a very calm, honest conversation with each other about how proud they are of each other and how wonderful they're going to be, and also that they still do love each other. And they're sorry that it couldn't have worked out. So I just thought it was a really beautiful way to showcase how important it is to have your own life and your own dreams and be able to follow those things and not give up those things for somebody else because you want to be with them. And I don't think that we see that enough in the media.
When you said that, I had like a just a feeling of like, stay-at-home parents. A lot of the times, like, there's always that, there's not ever really a discussion, or we don't see a discussion, especially being portrayed in social media, about which parent has to decide to stay home with the children if they're starting to raise a family. I think we always presume it's going to be mom that stays home, and dad gets to be the breadwinner and take care of the family. And again, based a lot on like those traditional societal values and beliefs. But I think it's such a great conversation that they had, and to be able so that, yes, they can still love each other. It's just not in this time frame or this time in life where they can be together, and that's okay. Like, they can both have, like, both things can happen at the same time. So I think that's really awesome that that was portrayed in that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think something that we always talk about in our workshops whenever we're going over the equality wheel, is highlighting that independence and autonomy piece in relationships. And so often it's really easy to lose ourselves within a relationship because we really care about this other person and we want to make them happy, and being with them makes us happy. And that's awesome. But it's so important not to lose ourselves and to be able to do the things that we really are passionate about. We talk about that a lot with students in our workshop. And I think that it's something that at that age, it can be hard to foresee giving those things up for somebody at that point in our lives, like when we're in high school, because we are able to put ourselves first at that age. But that is kind of where we start getting into those more serious relationships, and that loss of self can really start to happen. So I think seeing things like this scene in Schitt's Creek can be really impactful, especially for young people. And I really like the parallel that you drew between this instance and stay-at-home parents, because that is something that happens so often, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of choice. And I've seen a lot of times actually where fun gets poked at a man who ends up being the stay-at-home parent. I've seen that happen a lot. Like, it's kind of assumed that maybe dad didn't want to stay home and he's kind of being forced to do that, where we don't ever really think of it that way for moms for some reason. So it's really not fair.
Or if like mom is the one that's working, like she's being criticized for not caring enough about her children or not loving her children enough. It just baffles me like that. And I don't feel like mom should be shamed for working and having a partner that is the stay-at-home partner and parent, because we don't know, like, there could be financial reasons. There could be, there's so many reasons as to why. And everything is so expensive nowadays. It's like, you almost have to have at least one person staying home to take care of the family. Just saying that they don't love their child enough to stay home with them, it's like they don't have the option to. And they do love them. They're taking care of them by working. Like, both go hand in hand.
It really feels like a lose-lose situation for real. Like no decision is the right decision. Somebody's got something negative to say, no matter what the decision is, and that's super unfortunate. Aside from that, in Schitt's Creek, the other reason I love it so much is there's so much character growth that happens, and I know you don't watch the show, but really, it's in a nutshell, about this really wealthy family who kind of loses everything, and they have like grown accustomed to this lifestyle, and they're a little bit kind of stuck up and arrogant, and they look down on a lot of people, and they behave in like some really icky ways at first. But the growth that they show throughout the series is just super powerful because you see them making mistakes, taking accountability for those actions, and then deciding to make different decisions going forward and doing different things. And that's not something that we see in any real kind of way. And I think that's something that's really hard to do. It's really hard to admit when we've done something hurtful. It feels uncomfortable. We can get really defensive about it, but it's so important to be able to do that in order to move forward in a way that makes everybody feel safe and comfortable with us. And that's something that happens again throughout the series. I can think of one instance where the parents, Moira and Johnny, go out to like a romantic dinner and they end up like sitting with the mayor of this town and his wife. And they, up until this point, have been kind of like, they've really looked down on these people because of like the way that they are and how they live. And then a couple from their past life shows up at this restaurant and end up sitting with them as well. And they are kind of taking digs at the mayor and his wife and like making fun of the town and like really making fun of the people who must live there. And Johnny, the main character, the dad, he starts sticking up for the town and the people and for the mayor and calls them, you know, these are our friends and they've done this for us and this for us. And when we lost everything, you guys disappeared out of our lives. And I think that it really highlighted an important point in standing up for people when they are being bullied, right? And that's something else that we do when we're in the schools and we're talking to people. It can be really hard to stand up to, especially a friend, if they're doing something hurtful. Because we don't want that behavior turned on us and we don't want them to think negatively of us, but it ends up, you know, what is the right thing to do here? And the right thing to do is to stand up for somebody else who is being targeted. If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today Jazz and I are discussing respectful relationships in the media. So, shifting gears a little bit, in December, Allie and I started kind of focusing on social media influencers and the impact that their content can have on young people watching. And they can have just as profound an impact as the fictional media that we consume. But we didn't really get to touch on the positive behaviors that we see covered by social media influencers.
Yeah, so I actually have a couple of relationships that I am often following and just watching a lot of their videos together. And so the first one is Hannah and Griffin. I believe their last name's Ruben. I just love their videos so much. They a lot of their content is like they're about their life and like what they're doing in their life. And also Hannah is I don't know if she considers herself mid-size or plus size, but she's like a curvy woman and she has a lot of self-love and self-care and just self-esteem content on her videos. And her husband is so supportive. Griffin is so supportive in all of that. And he's like her manager almost, and he like does all of her videos and editing with her, and it's just he's always showing so much support and really treating her like the queen that she is. And I don't often like we don't often see that in social media. I think a lot of times we see, especially in like heterosexual relationships, we often see like a woman always catering to a man's needs and always trying to support like his goals and his dreams, and kind of going back to what we had talked about earlier. And I believe like she's the breadwinner of their family based on all of her content. And I just think that's so empowering and just amazing. And like he takes care of the kids and stays at home with their family, and they're just amazing. And they always have so many good things to say. And when they argue, of course, and they have disagreements, just like, you know, any other couple. But I think the big piece with them is that they're always openly communicating about how they're feeling, about what's maybe going on in their lives. And they're very honest, like over their social media too, about like, hey, this is what's happened, and we have to kind of, you know, change gears a little bit. This isn't what we're going to be focusing on anymore. And like for their own emotional safety and physical safety. And I think that's just like, we don't see that, right? I feel like with other couples, we might only see little bits and pieces. And of course, we're seeing only bits and pieces from Hannah and Griffin, but I just think what they're showing is very authentic and very realistic. It's chaotic too. Like family, having a family can be very chaotic and it's very beautiful, but it's also chaos. And they just show it in the best way possible, I think. I think you watch Hannah and Griffin too. Did you
I
have any
do.
like ideas about Hannah and Griffin?
Yeah, I do watch them. I absolutely love their content, and I do feel, like you said, that they come off very authentic. It's so funny that you mentioned the breadwinner thing because I think yesterday, actually, I saw a video of theirs pop up, and it was like a comment that somebody else had made, and it was a question like, how does your husband feel with you being the breadwinner? And then it said, meanwhile, my husband living his best life. And it was just all these little clips of Griffin being like super goofy and silly and like super romantic and loving with her. And it was just so fun to see because clearly he's fine with that. And I think it's important for people to see that because she's doing something she loves. She's great at it. She's, I think, being very helpful to a lot of people, especially like women who have self-esteem issues, which is most of us. And then to see a partner who really hypes her up. The first video I ever saw of theirs was Hannah doing like a Christmas clothing haul try-on, and Griffin was behind the camera or just kind of in the background as she was trying each outfit on. And not only was he like hyping her up and saying, you know, that looks really good, but he was picking out very specific things about what she was wearing to talk about. And I remember him saying, like, I really love how that color contrasts with your purple hair. So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, you look good. Like, he was being very specific, and he tends to do that in a lot of their videos. And she does the same thing for him. You know, she's always talking about, you know, how much she loves him and how wonderful he is. And I just think it's very refreshing to see a couple who is not afraid to really just kind of shout their love for each other publicly. And I know that when my partner says something about me to other people, in a positive way, it makes me feel really good. And I just feel like everybody deserves to have someone who thinks they are just a light in their life and they want people to know that.
Yeah, all I can see is like pure excitement every time I watch their videos together, because it's like they both light up when they see each other, and that's what it is. It's like pure joy, pure excitement to have their partner, and I love it so much, and I strive for that. You know, I hope I have that with my partner. I don't know, just being just so excited and grateful and just like showered with love every day of your life. Like, who wouldn't want that? And that's what I feel like just by watching them. Like, again, every couple has their days that they're not always hyping each other up, but I do feel like they're so genuine and.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think seeing that can be so impactful for young people, but really for anybody watching, because I know, like, when I see, like you said, the joy and they light up when they see each other. And when I see somebody doing that for their partner, I want to make my partner feel that way too. Just like when we see those abusive, toxic behaviors being normalized in the media, we think that that's what should be happening, right? But if we can see these positive, loving things happening instead and think the same way.
I think it's happening more and more, and I think that's so empowering. And that kind of brings me into like thinking about another couple that I love seeing. Her name is Victoria, and she is a curvy woman that does a lot of just positive motivational type of things, and she does a lot of like Victorian-esque dressing. Like, she wears these beautiful dresses and just is very extravagant like every day of her life, and I think it's just amazing, and I aspire to be her. And she just also has a partner that is behind the scenes helping and supporting and excited to be around her and is very whimsical. Like, their relationship seems very fairy tale-esque, and I think often we see that in a way that's like, oh, it's just like Cinderella, you're gonna be together like Prince Charming, but like this is like fairy tale-esque in the best way possible. Like, they're going places dressed up together, and like her partner is wanting to partake in it and is just as excited too. It's just really awesome.
Yeah, I think the best way you can love someone is to support them and just let them know that who they are in their entirety is enough and amazing, and just loving them out loud in that way. Just seeing somebody who has support from their partner and the things that they love to do just is so important for people to see, especially if they are not used to seeing that. We don't always have that modeled for us, maybe at home or with our friends, the relationships we see them in. And that's how we learn what things are healthy and which things are not, or which things, feel good to have happening. And so to see more content where we have supportive partners is going to be so helpful, I think.
Respect is listed on the equality wheel, that non-judgmental attitudes towards our partner, non-threatening behaviors towards our partner. And I think the biggest thing, like a lot of our relationships are foundational and they start with communication, right? I think it's so hard these days to be able to feel like we can openly and honestly communicate with another person because of, I'm going to say it, technology. Technology, I think, has taken away some of that humanity or like that realness out of conversation and communicating. One thing that just comes to my mind is like all of the AI chatting and using AI to have conversations about your relationships and like, oh, I came up and I had this fight, and I actually just heard, I watch Smosh Reddit videos, and it's like the cast of Smosh talking about like real life situations that people have gone on Reddit and are like, am I the bad guy in this situation or did I do something wrong? And they like talk about it. And one of them was that a girl was with her partner and kept using Chat GPT to figure out if they were the ones that were in the wrong. And of course, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like AI and Chat GPT, like they're going to answer you as if you're the right person, even if you might be in the wrong. I think it's like really hard for people to talk and have like actual conversations, not just within romantic relationships, but again, any relationships that we're having, whether it be with our friends or our parents or our siblings, like it's the foundation to everything, right? Communicating.
Actually, really, really glad that you brought that up, because I think it is such an important point when we think about communication to think about how technology really does affect communication. Even with, like, I know something as simple as a short text can be misconstrued very easily because you can't tell tone and you are shorthanding everything. And it's very kind of new to have 24 access to somebody. Sometimes it can get a little bit extreme where somebody feels like they have a right to have access to somebody whenever. I texted you, why haven't you texted me back? And it's like, it's been 30 seconds and I'm in the middle of something. Or, not everybody does check their phone constantly. And so I think that it is really important to consider how communication is impacted by technology, and especially the AI stuff that's very new too. The things that you are asking or inputting is what is swaying AI's response to you. And so it's not necessarily giving you an answer that's going to be helpful, and it can actually be very harmful, especially, if it's navigating a very serious situation, for example, if abuse is involved, especially with young people. And just to remind everybody that, we are here. Next step is free, and it's available to anyone of any age. You can call the helpline and talk to somebody who will offer judgment-free support, in the same way that AI would, but you're going to get more thoughtful responses and real responses that could actually be safer.
Think as being a young person that is figuring out relationships or wanting to start a relationship or is in a relationship, just remember that like you don't have to, you can just be yourself. You are gonna live a life and you have all the time in the world. There is no pressure to have these relationships. I think we have to remember that we don't have to be married by a certain point. We don't have to have that traditional whatever a relationship looks like because of our parents had it, or our aunt and uncle, or our best friend has with their partner. We can be ourself, and you can be yourself and do what you want to do for as long as you want, and that's what matters. And I think we forget about that. The most important thing is staying safe too. If you're feeling uncomfortable or you have those uneasy feelings, there's probably something going on there, and really trying to think about, okay, is this person respecting my boundaries, respecting what I'm saying, listening to me thoughtfully, communicating openly with me.
I'd like to thank Jazz for joining me today and discussing healthy and respectful relationships in both fictional and social media. You've been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who's interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579.